I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, December 23rd, 2021. Festivus for the rest of us. Megapod, week 16, National Football League, live from the D. It's Gil Alexander. Glad you could join us from our home at the D with our big shield table and a packed crowd here the day before Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Mike Palm, the Vice President of Operations at Circus Sports, Derek Stevens Conciliary. By the way, thanks for having Derek on with us.
How about he called the Lions outright over the Cardinals?
He did.
He called it.
He did call it. Todd Wishnev from his mom's Cork Attic in Pittsburgh, PA. How you doing, Toddy? Wearing a collared shirt.
Hey.
Thanks for wearing a collared shirt. Man. He's being stupid. And ladies and gentlemen, rotating guest on the Megapod, Jeff Parlay, producer number 5 and 8 of the Numbers Game, the Grover Cleveland producers, and also the host of Bet Center on Christmas Day afternoonish at VSiN. 4 hours on Christmas Day from young Jeff Parlay, who, by the way, goes by the name Jeff Parles when he does Bet Center. How you doing, Jeffrey? Thanks for being here.
A man of many names, apparently, yeah. Now, Gil. And every Saturday, not just Christmas Day. I just happen to be alone, and I happen to have multiple segments with young Gil on Christmas Day, Mike.
The Jews have to volunteer. We volunteer on Christmas Day.
Are you coming into studio?
No. Oh.
No, that was it. Come on now. I'm not
saying crazy.
I'm not.
Are you leaving town? Are you going to San Francisco?
No, I'll be here.
Stay here.
But I used to do that when I was at KML. I used to volunteer for shifts on Christmas. It's the least we could do. It's the least we could do. We don't celebrate the Christmas.
So you work on Yom Kippur, but yet you won't work, but you will work on Christmas. Wow.
I'm not sure where they contradict.
I don't know
I'm
what I'm
sure
talking.
Not sure what the contradiction
I
was. There,
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm saying. Actually.
Okay, Mikey. First off, we're down to 16 in Survivor, and we have the Christmas 3-game fest about to happen. What are the deadlines on all of these?
That's a very interesting point, Gil. If you're using either the 49ers or the Titans tonight, it's got to be before kick. I'd get it in before 5:15. Because it'll shut off in the computer, not actually when the kick, but whenever the game is scheduled to go in the computer, in the software. If you're using one of the Saturday games, your deadline is 10 p.m. Pacific Friday night, 1 a.m. Eastern Saturday morning, and then there's a 9-hour window. If you survive this 3-game window, on your phone, at the counter, on the kiosk, it will populate your survivor at midnight, Saturday night into Sunday morning, and the picks must be in by 9 a.m.
Wow.
Yep. Hour before kick.
No one's going to mess this up, right? No.
There's only 16.
Yeah, it's only 16. $375,000 intrinsic value. 16 entries out of 4,080. Nobody has multiple entries anymore.
Nope.
16 people. And so what's interesting about this, and again, this is like the Thanksgiving quirk where there were 3 games. What's interesting is most of us who were in this were sort of earmarking Arizona as the team to save. But that has obviously changed as Arizona has fallen on hard times. And the real team, the real advantage is that 8 of those remaining 16 have Green Bay left.
What are the odds that 8 don't take Green Bay? I mean, I put it as high. I would be shocked if there aren't
I'd
all 8.
I'd be shocked.
Yes.
It's going to be 100%.
It has to be.
It has to be 100%.
All 8 have to take. Yeah. That's your advantage.
But then, now where do you go? No Colts. No one has the Colts left. So if you don't have Green Bay, if you're one of those 8 people, do you go 49ers, Titans, or Cardinals? Those are your 3 choices.
I would take San Francisco tonight. That's what I would do. I just, with those offensive line injuries for Tennessee, I think San Francisco's D-line is going to dominate the game. I know Gil already has the Titans getting 3.5 in his account. I know A.J. Brown is back, but I think San Francisco's defense is going to be too much tonight.
I don't think you can properly evaluate Tennessee. I think they've tried to replace what Derrick Henry gave him with a short passing game. The only problem is they didn't have Julio Jones or A.J. Brown most of this time. Now they do. So I think that mitigates the offensive line trouble. But we'll see.
Some people just have a strict policy. They don't take road teams, and that would forbid them from taking Tennessee. So then you, or from San Francisco. So then you're left with Tennessee or Arizona. I don't like Arizona at all. I think the Colts will be favored by the time they kick that game. So I would be forced, if I didn't play a road team, to take Tennessee in the game.
The answer is it's an impossible choice.
Mm-hmm. It's a Hobson's choice.
Hobson's choice. I love that. Yeah. Good knowledge. Hobson's choice.
Is that Butch Hobson from the Red Sox?
Yes,
yes, yes it is.
Yes,
yes. Thank you.
Named after Butch Hobson. How'd you know?
I thought it was that.
Or was it after Dennis Hobson and they just spelled it wrong? One or the other. Was it Dennis Hobson? Did he play ball?
Hobson.
Ohio State?
Basketball player.
Yeah.
Ohio State.
Dennis Hobson.
I think he was in there with Granville Waiters somewhere during Granville's 18 years in Columbus.
Granville Waiters, the last NBA player that didn't shave the head. He just decided I'm going to let it grow out on my sides, and I'm going to have a huge bald head on top.
And he was starting to bald while he was still in Columbus. I think he was there that long. But, yes.
Well, he played early Jordan. Yeah. He was on the court with Jordan, Granville Waiters.
He had a COVID year at Ohio State, I believe.
All right. So then, Todd, how did we do last week on this here show?
I want to say it was a Christmas Festivus miracle because Michael Palm took it real bad. Last week, he went 0-3 with the Brownies, which he did not deserve to lose, with the Miami Dolphins, which he probably deserved to lose, and the over 46.5 in Atlanta, San Francisco, which was one of the worst losses that you'll ever have.
That's horrible.
They had about 100 million points in the third quarter, and then all of a sudden, I could see it coming from a mile away. I was, Mikey, I was rooting against you the whole fourth quarter. I was like, come on. Every time Matty Ice would get it inside the 10 with his Philip Rivers Jr. impersonation, I was like, Mikey's going to be real upset when he doesn't get it in here. And you ended up with an 0-3
Just to be accurate about that before you give the records, Atlanta went for it down 18. Well, first of all, fourth and goal at the 1, 2.5 minutes into the game, right?
Yeah, you think you were going to knock them out, knock the 49ers out with a touchdown early? Take the points.
Just kick the field goal.
Just kick it. You ran it, didn't get it in, kick the field goal.
Not only that, Cordarrelle Patterson was in the end zone on
first down. On first down.
And they, exactly. On first down. And they reversed it to no touchdown. By the way, they blew it on second and third down, also from goal line. Cordarrelle Patterson stuffed on third down. And so then they go for it fourth and 1, and they miss. Then down 18, 31-13, 4th and 1 at the 8, 10:42 left. They failed to convert. Then 4th and goal at the 1, down 31-13. They failed to convert. It is an 18-point deficit. Like, you have to have 3 scores.
The one with 12 minutes left is unforgivable. You've got to get it down to 2 scores.
Kick the field goal.
Yes.
But anyways, I was laughing my head off.
Every time on 3rd and 6, they'd get 5 yards. It was impossible.
By the way, on top of what happened to Mikey in his regular picks, in his teaser pick, he has the Carolina Panthers plus 17. It's 4th and 2. They're down 10 from the 11-yard line. And the Bills could either kick the field goal to go up 13, or they could just run it into the line to get the first down, or run it in the line. No one get the first down. Instead, they fake it and throw a little dinker pass for the touchdown, and they lose by 17. So it was everything that could possibly go wrong. My good friend Mikey Palm went wrong, so he pushed his teaser as well. So anyways, Gilly had a nice week. The Woofties hurt him at the end, but me and Gil both won. Somehow we both won with the Bengals there, Gil. You know, late in the first half, there was a huge, huge situation where Denver missed the field goal.
Yes.
And then the Bengals got a lucky field goal. And then it was, you know, at that point I was thought, okay, now we're gonna cover this.
Well, so let's give the details on that. So McManus misses a 51-yard field goal with about 17 seconds left, somewhere in that pocket. And I just figured
in the first half,
because I just thought I had the Bengals first half. I was like, oh, thank God he missed it. Oh my God, I'm gonna get the push. I had the money line, and it was tied at 3 apiece, and he missed it.
I'm
like, woo, push, yes. So I kind of lose my, you know, attention, and I'm doing something else, and all of a sudden, like, I hear the announcer going, big pass from Burrow. I'm like, wait, they ran a play? Not only they run a play, if it's like a 17 or I think it was a 19-yard pass play, he gets McPherson a 58-yard attempt, and he sinks it.
It would have been good from like 65. Oh, McPherson was incredible in Denver. Think about that game against Green Bay where he missed all the kick. He's been great this year.
He really had one bad quarter the entire season, and it's the one everyone remembers. Yeah. And two, Gil, to your point, I had legitimately gotten up from my chair.
Me too.
And got back and saw, wait a second, they're lining up for a field goal. What happened here? But look, that's just fanny pack Vic in his glory there, getting us that extra three. And
who also blew it at the end of the game.
Oh, totally blew it at
he
the end
blew
of the game.
He blew the timeouts because Cincinnati's up 15-10, the eventual final score at the end of the game. And Fangio ended up calling a timeout too early. And so Cincinnati ended up with a fourth down at the two-minute warning. Denver had no timeouts. Had Fangio used it earlier, Cincinnati would have had to have run their fourth down play prior to the two-minute warning, and they would have had 2 minutes to work with. Instead, he just completely screwed the Broncos, screwed his own team.
But
and
they weren't going to score anyways.
Doesn't matter. The
right.
I'm with you.
No. I'm with you about all that. I'm just saying we know the Broncos. They weren't getting a touchdown. And anyways, they weren't getting a touchdown and a two-point conversion to beat us.
Todd, they had the greatest drive in the history of the league at the end of the game, down 5, where they went backwards and then fired the ball 50 yards out of bounds on 4th and 18.
But, you know, we were talking about this, Matt Brown and I, on primetime. It's like we both had the Bengals, too. And when Locke came in the game, Locke is just scary enough where you're not really thrilled with it, where you're like, that guy, when he's bad, he's bad, but when he's good, he's kind of really good, too.
There's huge variance.
So, and you know, you felt bad for Teddy Bridgewater, who got knocked down in the third quarter, but that was not a happy thing to see Locke come in. Anyway, I'm sorry I interrupted you, but so we ended up both.
Anyways, so you went 2-1, Gilly. To now, Gilly Ice moves into first place at 21-24. Mikey at 19-25-1, and I am a half game behind Mikey at 19-26. We are struggling.
I believe I told you
one other thing. One other thing. Can I just give a shout out to whoever, and Mike probably knows the name of the referee, but whoever the referee was at the end of the Bears game, I had the Bears plus 11. I had Bears plus 15, and the Bears plus 15 was already in, but I had Bears plus 11, and every time they get down there in the fourth quarter, they had like 1,000 chances to cut it from 14-7 or 14-8 or whatever it is. And at the way end, they threw that touchdown. By the way, And by the way, the touchdown helped me, and I won. That was not a touchdown. The guy he bobbled the ball. Did you see the last play? Yeah.
What a quick review it was, though. I mean, they went to the review, and all of a sudden they popped the score up final. Yeah. They get in the touchdown.
Yeah. Well, no, they said they changed the I think it was a New York deal where they changed it on the field before the review. So they said they really should have reviewed it.
Right.
But they changed it on the field, and they said first no touchdown. They said no, on the field the score is a touchdown, and then we're not reviewing it. Which, you know, I was going crazy, hallelujah, that I get the cover. But, you know, a cover you certainly deserve. If you have the Bears at plus 11 on the in game at that point, the Bears were inside the 10-yard line of Minnesota in the fourth quarter, like, I don't know, 100 times.
It was unbelievable. Yeah,
Cousins threw for 77 yards. I mean,
87 yards.
Yeah, I mean, it was a joke. Yeah.
Think about it. We've had winning quarterbacks now. Yeah. Cousins threw for 87. Carson Wentz threw for 57 in that win over the Colts. And then most famously, Mac Jones threw for 19 in that game against the Bills.
Wow.
It's the greatest thing ever.
By the way, Cousins
swirling.
Swirling. I forgot. What you didn't understand was that I was swirling Wentz.
Cousins does everything he can do to help stay in the game. But anyways,
what are the teaser records?
The teaser records. Gilly moves to 7-7-1. Mikey is also 7-7-1, and I am 9-6. Ooh. So that's where we are on the teaser. Okay. So hopefully we can turn it around here. Looks tough to me this week again. So we'll see.
All right. Let's talk about
Thursday
the game tonight. Any plays here? I already have the Titans plus 3.5. I'm on the Titans. I think the return of A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, by the way, who can't finish games with hamstring problems, but apparently is fine to go here tonight. I actually think that's a huge thing. I know that the Titans are without two of their offensive linemen, including Taylor Lewan. But you get, when it was 3.5, I grabbed it. I think the Titans are extremely hard to evaluate because their last three losses, they've been minus 13 in turnovers. Minus 13. They held the Steelers to 12 first downs and 168 total yards. Their defense has been playing well. So I like the Titans tonight. Todd, you have any thoughts on this one?
I lean Titans, too, because I like – I'm not going to play it, but I lean Titans just because I like Vrabel in this kind of scenario where, you know, he's playing a good team. They're at home. Jimmy G, who knows what you're going to get. He could, you know, throw three accidental picks and they drop him or they catch him. I don't know. This just smells to me like Titans at home plus three sounds like a lot to get. So if I'd lean on the Titans.
Well, they're showing game six of the World Series between the Cubs and the Indians up here.
I'll take the Cubs. I'm not sure.
Addison Russell Grand Slam later in the game. Yeah. I'll bet
this
that.
Is, bet that. Arrieta, right? Arrieta come back in one game six for them?
I don't remember.
I don't remember who started Arrieta. That game.
Tough guy Jake Arrieta.
Fake tough guy. All I remember is Rajai Davis's game seven home run, three-run homer to tie it up off of
Chapman.
With a choked-up two-strike bat. Yep. Would have been, if Cleveland had held on, would have been one of the greatest moments in modern baseball history. And no one talks about it anymore because they lost.
Yeah, no, 100% agree with you there, Gil. And then that was what a great baseball game that was.
Oh, I was
it really was.
Listening.
Kind of like the sport peaked at that exact moment.
So great. Okay, you guys, Mike, any thought on the game tonight?
Yeah, I like it over.
You do?
I do like it over. I think San Francisco is moving the ball despite Garoppolo, right? I mean, to me, when I watch Jimmy Garoppolo, it's like the angle of the football when he throws it, right? I mean, he gets the angle wrong coming out of his hand, and it can go way high. It can
His release.
But the angle of the football when he releases it, like the nose of the football, you got to watch that because he gets out of kilter with it, and it takes him a while. But I think both these teams, I agree with Gil, I think Tennessee will be able to move the ball tonight a little bit on San Francisco. And to Todd's point, Garoppolo can score for both teams. You know, he can do that. So I'm going to go back to the well bet in a 49ers game over. This is my third best bet, Todd, over 44.5.
Over 44.5 Titans.
I'm going to make the Titans plus three my third as well. Now it's not 3.5, which I have in my account, but I'll take the plus three as my third best.
Tennessee plus three?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Jeff, your thoughts.
Tennessee plus three. Really.
Yeah, no official play here. I would lean to the Niners. They're just playing so well. The only concern, I understand getting Brown back is a big deal for the Titans, but the big issue more than anything for San Francisco is that travel on a short week. We're going two time zones. It's about as long as they're going to make a team travel on a short week. So a little bit of a concern there, but in the end, I just think the Niners are much better than the Titans at the moment, even with Brown and Jones playing. Talk to me when Derrick Henry's back in 2-3 weeks for Tennessee, and it's a whole different story then.
Tennessee, one of these teams that can still get a number one seed. They can still be knocked out of the playoffs in the AFC. All right, let's start with the best bets then. Jeff, you are the guest. Jeff Parles, ladies and gentlemen, parlay. Your number one best bet would be?
Well, as we sat down, because we can't go more than 5 minutes without COVID news at this point.
Yes.
My number one play is going to stay despite the bad news against the side I like. Dalvin Cook is on the COVID list. Dalvin Cook is unvaccinated.
Oh, no.
So he is not going to be able to play.
Jesus.
But, Gil, as you've mentioned in the past, they have as good of a backup as anyone behind Dalvin Cook, and he was just activated yesterday from the COVID list.
Alexander Madison
is going to be able to go. And they play the Rams. They're getting three. We're going to see a 3.5 on this game, I would imagine, soon behind us, 3 minus 115 on the Rams. So hopefully we see a 3.5. But even at three, I like Minnesota in this game getting the points against the Rams.
Are you seeing a line on this anywhere right now?
Though? I'm seeing it in spots. You guys,
I see threes.
Yeah, okay. I still see threes. On this. I know off the board in some spots.
Yeah.
But I would imagine what Cook's going to mean a half point, a point at most. So it's good at three, good at 3.5. Obviously, better at four. But look, even though the Rams beat Arizona 2 weeks ago, you have to take that win with a grain of salt after what we saw from Arizona against Detroit. And what we saw, really, Arizona was backtracking a little bit leading in to that loss against the Rams. And Minnesota, they're playing for the playoff lives. If they lose a game, now the news in New Orleans kind of makes that a little more complicated, that race. But if they lose a game, it's hard for them to get in, because Philadelphia probably is going to be his big favorite this week, going to be favored on the road in Washington next week. And then Dallas might not play their guys week 18. So I like Minnesota plus the 3. That would be my number one for this week.
Yeah. So what?
Can I just say also something? The running backs make absolutely no difference.
Correct.
Did you see the Tennessee running backs? Foreman running for like a million yards against the Steelers. If there are holes, there are holes. Najee Harris is a fantastic running back.
Wait a minute.
Okay. If there are holes,
you picked the wrong example. The one team where it does matter is the Tennessee Titans.
No, I understand. Yeah. I know Derrick Henry is a standout, and he. But all I'm trying to say is the best running back is like 10 to 20% better than the worst running back, whereas other positions it can be 60 and 70% better.
Yes.
That's all I'm trying to say. And Derrick Henry might be the number one running back who's better than all other running backs, and he's a 1.2 versus everybody else is a 1. You agree with what I'm saying?
I agree generally speaking with what you're saying, yes, that running back is not a super important position, but there are outliers everywhere, and Derrick Henry would be the one outlier.
I only use the example of Foreman just because it shows that Tennessee has a good line. And that's why it's another reason why Derrick Henry looks so good. Now, granted, he's fantastic.
Let me get back on point here. What Jeff was referring to, in case those have missed it, and again, we're doing this Thursday morning, and every moment there's a different bit of COVID news. So he's talking about Dalvin Cook is on the COVID list. Alexander Mattison came back off the COVID list onto the team yesterday. What we were referring to with the Saints is that, in case you missed it this morning, Trevor Siemian first was announced on the COVID list for the New Orleans Saints, and then about 2 hours later, we'd say, Taysom Hill was placed on the COVID list, which means that the New Orleans Saints on Monday night, a game of 2 7-7s playing each other, Ian Book is going to be the Saints' starting quarterback on Monday night. So that game,
Mikey probably loves him.
That game is completely off the board.
He couldn't even score against Clemson in the semifinal. Ian Book. Clown.
So he's off. So there's no line in some places for Minnesota. Some places there are, but there is no line anywhere for the New Orleans Miami game. Mikey, your first best bet.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule-release to learn more.
You know, I'm going to talk a little bit about, or piggytail off what you did about Drew Lock. And I like the Raiders this week. I don't see how Denver can win this game. The Raiders, through fortune here, I mean, the Browns too scared to go play action or throw a pass on third down. I mean, if you listen to Stefanski's comments the next day about, you would have thought we would have given Mullins the ball and tried to make 4 yards.
He said that.
Yes, he said that.
I got something before you continue with this. So I brought this up on a numbers game yesterday. I was vegging out between shows, and Around the Horn was on. Mm. And they did pretty much an entire segment on how they couldn't believe that the Browns didn't go for it on 4th and 3 at their own 30. And I watched it in horror, and I'm just like, what are they talking about? They had a third-string quarterback, and I know Nick Mullins played well, but he's still your third-string quarterback. If you don't get the 3 yards there, the Raiders are automatically in field goal position, and they can actually gain yards and get a better field goal. Yes, I get it. They punted, and yes, I get it that Carr got it them downfield, and yes, I get it that Carlson hit the game-winning field goal. But we've gotten to the point now. I have two huge pet peeves now. We've gotten to the point that people who rail against analytics have no fucking idea what they're talking about because they don't even know what analytics is and what analytics isn't, right? They're like, oh, it's analytics. For every time, listen, I'm an analytics guy. They should have punted. I'm an analytics guy. I'm pro field goals in lots of situations. What you're talking about half the time is not analytics. The other thing that I'm seeing with this around the horn thing is people think it's cool to go on fourth. People think now who aren't into analytics think that it's correct to go on fourth down every time now. And I'm watching around the horn. I'm like, of course they should have punted the football. What are you guys talking about?
They lost the game. Remember after the holding penalty or whatever it was, or man downfield, they didn't tackle them. They let him get like 10 yards and get out of bounds. That was the biggest.
Yeah. It's a good point, Mike, because that has been completely forgotten where Foster Moreau was down and tackled. You could have had him tackled
inbounds
for a 5-yard game with the clock running. Instead, they did the little a shoulder shiver that didn't work.
Tiptoed
the sidelines, got an extra 70 yards, and got out of bounds.
Yeah.
And look, the other thing is, too, like as soon as you knew that you were getting inside 55 yards, you knew Carlson was making the kick.
Yeah, he's money. Yeah.
What do you have, Todd?
Can I also ask you, how can Harbaugh – When he gets the touchdown to go down 8, of all the people that would do the new go for two thing, he decides not to go for two.
Yep.
That screwed me big time. Well, but it's like I have no idea what this guy is doing. Sometimes he is, sometimes he isn't. I have no idea what's going on.
Correct. And so his was the cleanest example of what I'm talking about. How people who rail against analytics have no idea what they're talking about because they don't even understand what analytics are. Going for two down 8, that's analytics. Going for two at the end of the game to try to win it down 1 is just a coach's coin flip decision. That's not analytics. So there's like, we have people say, oh, analytics. It's not analytics. You don't even know what you're screaming about.
Right.
Pissed me off.
In fact, how did he make the decision? He went over, they have him on NFL Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, you want to go for it? Yeah, I think we can get it. Yeah. Okay, let's go for it.
Let's go for it. But everything that goes wrong is analytics, and everything that goes right is take that analytics.
I thought,
give me a fucking break.
I thought that if Baltimore had scored with 15 seconds left, I have no problem with the decision. But even if he makes it two, Rodgers is 41 seconds in a timeout. You're not out of the woods.
You're probably losing either way. In all honesty, Mike, just because Rodgers, what they a timeout, 2 left for Green Bay. Like, you know he's getting in field goal range. It's just a matter of Crosby's
going to make
the kick.
Yeah.
You and I agree, though, on one thing, which is the Chiefs-Chargers game, because that was the first game this week that brought up all of this.
Yeah.
I loved all of Brandon Staley's plays. I really did, except for the one at the end of the first half.
No advantage to leave him at the one. The half's over.
Kick the field goal and go up 7. Yeah. And you get the ball back again. Like, stop it. Stop it.
But on top of that, Gil, how can you make any determinations about analytics or non-analytics on 3 plays? It's meaningless. You need to see 3,000 plays or 300 plays. What happens on 4th and goal from the 3 to 100 times? Then come back and tell me. Don't tell me. And by the way, had he made them all, that wasn't the right decision either.
Right.
You have to look at the math. And the math is the math. It's not analytics, folks. It's math.
Correct.
So if you look at math and it says shows 300 times they went for it and you get a better expected value by going for it, that's what we're talking about. And it doesn't mean he's wrong because you could flip a coin and get 7 heads in a row. Would you still want to play a game where you gave me $1.10 for every heads and $1 for every tails? No, you wouldn't.
Yep.
So it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
This whole discussion is ridiculous.
Well, because we're getting a cottage industry now, Todd. The reason that it's so ridiculous is that we're getting, sorry for cursing, but that's how ridiculous it is. And we're allowing this to spread like wildfire, like it's intelligent radio, and it's not. And I wish we would stop. Is that we have this cottage industry of people who think they're the cool guys saying how analytics is stupid, and they don't even understand what analytics are.
How about just say math?
And yeah, they don't even understand
math.
What it is, and it's like this, oh, you're cooler than we are. No, You're the one who can't see two sides of it. It's the analytics people who actually can see both sides, what's correct and what's not. And I'm so tired of this. By the way, Jason, you can cut out about five of those, but leave a couple in.
No, but the bottom line is it doesn't prove anything because Brandon Staley missed it three times.
You're right,
on fourth
it doesn't
time.
Prove
that
nothing.
Proves nothing. Does that prove if I flip a coin and I get three heads, does it mean that this coin will only get heads for the rest of time? It's so ridiculous.
By the way, it's not cool. If you're in the media and you're taking the approach that you're tired of that, you're not good at your job. You don't have to agree with it, but you have to know what is and what isn't analytics. Thank you. I'm done.
I was on this morning, the morning show before yours, and one of my no hyperboles was specifically Arthur Smith not kicking the field goal down 18.
I'm with you. Should have kicked it.
One of the hosts that's filling in said to me, I'm with you. I don't like this analytics. But that's not what I was saying. I was talking about that specific situation.
But then why don't you raise your voice and say that exactly to them?
Very, very hard out there, and I still had three more to get to. There was a very hard out coming in 6 minutes, and I still had three more to get to.
Well, going back to the Atlanta game for a second, because the one thing, and I agree with both of you, that they should have kicked down by 18. Yeah. They were in the one situation where legitimately every freaking time they got it to fourth and one.
Yes.
Which was the only time that Arthur Smith
the
was
worst
going
thing
to
in the world.
Going for it.
I've talked about this before. It's the cruel trick of getting all the yards but one.
Yeah.
Right? Because it makes you would have kicked a field goal if it was fourth and four.
If Matt Ryan throws every other pass he threw in that game wide and high and incomplete, you see Koo out there to get the field goal to get it to a 15-point
game. Who's automatic, by the way.
Yeah, it wasn't missing.
Who's automatic. But because it's the cruel trick of getting every yard but one, it all of a sudden changes your entire thinking with these coaches. They're like, oh, we're going for it. Let's go. I don't care if we're down 18.
You should trademark that. The cruel trick of getting every yard but one.
The cruel trick. Yeah. It is.
It's like almost like that grievances segment that turned into no hyperbole.
I hope, Todd, that you took some solace in the fact that the progeny of grievances, like the Catholics are the progeny of the Jews, won the Michie Award for best segment.
Yes, oh and I was
still talking about the Michie.
Overcoming two of the numbers game Mount Rushmore in doing so.
Cash the ticket on the Michie mention.
Wait. There's awards named after the show that he's on. By the way, me getting 30% of an award that is named after the show.
Oh, you went over. You hit the over there.
Congratulations, Gil.
Yes, I feel so great about it. I can't tell you how much.
I told Stormy this morning, I said, I almost put My Guys in the Desert winning best PM show and no hyperbole. She said, what?
You and Stormy, you guys were very serious about
that. She was. I had no idea. She ambushed me. I didn't know she would call on the whole VGK Disney empire to take me down.
Mikey, no one was more serious than you were.
No. I found out I'm the first person to win four Mitchies, Jeff. Oh, I wouldn't have known that, but someone pointed that out.
What, did you point it out to yourself?
I rest my case.
I did. No,
he pointed it out to himself. That's exactly what happened.
I won the last eight Toddy Awards.
You know you were in a category? Did you even know that?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Can we move on?
I don't know. I'd be intrigued on the Hot Toddy Awards. That would be be fun.
Yes. Did you give your pick then, full dissertation?
Yeah, he's going with the Raiders.
Is it a pick, Todd? What do you have the number at? I see some ones.
Raiders
and some
pick.
Yeah, okay. Raiders pick. Yeah.
Todd, you're number one.
I'm going to go with the Woofties.
Wow.
Dallas Cowboys don't really impress me. So you beat up on all these teams that are completely decimated. You beat the Giants. You beat Washington. You beat New Orleans. Now you're going to go and give how many? 10.5 points. Do you guys have 10.5 or 10?
Ten and a half across the board on my screen.
Okay, so I'm going to go with the Wifties plus 10.5. I think hopefully Heinicke is back to play for them. And I just, you know, it's an NFL game. It's a lot of points in an NFL game. And I don't think the Wifties are that bad. You know, I mean, even with their, you know, 14th string quarterback, they hung in that game against the Eagles for a while. I'll take the Wifties plus 10.5.
Yeah, the point is it wasn't even their 14th string quarterback. They literally had to sign a dude off another team's practice squad. Like, I mean, I talk with all my Washington football fan friends. We don't even know how to feel afterwards. It's like, really, we're going to look back on this season. We're like, remember we played a game in the middle of a playoff race with a dude from another team's practice.
What happened to the kid from Vanderbilt? I thought he was going to be the quarterback.
Shermer? He's terrible.
Shermer's son, right? Pat Shermer's son.
Kyle Shermer.
Yeah. I thought that he was in line to get the start.
I was in line.
The Steelers once played this, you know, a great organization. The Pittsburgh Steelers once played a game with a guy named Duck at quarterback for numerous games
in
a row.
He's better than Mason Rudolph, okay, Todd? Duck Hodges is better than Mason Rudolph.
They're both bad.
My number one, we already said, was the Titans. So we're up to number two, Jeff.
See, now this is where this gets difficult because we have no idea who's going to test positive for COVID next and miss these games.
We also don't know if guys are going to clear. Like, we still don't know if Baker Mayfield's
still on the list.
Case Keenum. We don't know.
So, this is not a pick, but I just want to bring something up on the New Orleans-Miami game because the lines are off the board when we're recording this with no Taysom Hill and no Trevor Siemian. Malcolm Perry is on that roster. Malcolm Perry is one of the best quarterbacks ever to play at Navy. Wouldn't you think Sean Payton would be smart enough to get a package bare minimum on Malcolm Perry?
On Malcolm Perry many times in college. He was awesome.
So just throwing that out there as a possibility, because I'm in Mikey's camp on Ian Book, that guy. Yeah.
So Malcolm Perry would play the Taysom Hill role in this game.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. He is on the roster, so that is at least worth a look there.
Did they have time to install the triple option? They do have an extra day. It's Monday, right?
Yeah. 3 days. Why the hell not at this point? I'm going to take the Philadelphia Eagles laying 9.5 as my next pick against the Giants.
I don't have 9.5.
I'll lay 10 then. That's fine. 10. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the number is. I know Sirianni's out with COVID. I know there could be some more COVID concerns. But the Giants are just so unfathomably awful on offense at this point. I don't care if it's Glennon. I don't care if it's Fromm. It doesn't matter. They're not moving the ball against Philadelphia's defense, who I thought, again, I know it was Garrett Gilbert, but even before that, other than the first half against the Jets, it played very well for the last month or so. And look, Jalen Hurts had the worst game he's had all year against the Giants the first time. He was clearly injured in that game. And when he's been healthy, though, over the last 6 weeks, Jalen Hurts has showed pretty well. The Eagles need this game in order to stay in the playoff hunt. Now with the news in New Orleans, they have a real chance of getting the 7th seed. So I don't care if it's 9.5, 10, whatever the number you'll give me, Todd, I'll lay it with Philadelphia against the Giants.
Wow. Mike Glennon and Jake Fromm, ladies and gentlemen. Daniel Jones shut down for the season. Mikey, number two.
I have the same pick.
Yes, your number
Eagles
two.
Eagles minus 10.
Is that your one or your two?
That's my two, and we already.
He only has
my three.
A two left.
I only have a two left. Yeah, can't trade up or down.
Yeah, me and Mikey are going the opposite direction as you guys because Tennessee was my three. Todd, your number two.
You know what? I'm just gonna. I hate to do this, but I'm taking Denver. I mean, I don't like betting with those idiots with that Fangio guy. I can't stand him. I just think that the Raiders are not a good team, and they constantly do dumb things. Now, granted, they won the game the other night, but, you know, so they beat Mullins? I mean, Mullins is an NFL – he's not an NFL quarterback, in my opinion, and they barely – you know, held on for that game. The three games prior to that, they got crushed by Kansas City. The Woofties beat them at home. They did have that miracle game against Dallas. But, you know, I just don't believe in the Raiders. And to me, this is going to be one of those who cannot lose it versus who can win it. And I think Denver's a little bit better at not losing it. And as we know, in the NFL, a lot of it is just don't lose the game. Let the other team lose the game. And that's why I'm going to take Denver Pick'em.
You're taking Lock over Carr.
I'm taking Lock over Carr, yes.
And we still don't have a Darren.
I don't like Lock.
We still don't.
By the way, I can't stand him.
We don't have a Darren Waller update yet, do we?
It's not trending well. He didn't practice yesterday.
Yeah. My number two is going to be the Detroit Football Lions.
There we go.
They're catching 5.5, I believe it is. What is it, Todd? What do you see?
Yeah.
The Detroit Lions are catching 5.5, yes.
5.5. Listen, they're coming off an 18-point win against Arizona. Game before that was sort of the Minnesota fallout game where they won on a last-second touchdown. It was their first win of the year against Minnesota. They got crushed by Denver in between. But if you throw out that Denver game, which I would like to for the purposes of this discussion, last games besides that Denver game, they beat Arizona by 18, they beat the Vikings by 2, They lost to the Bears by two. They lost to Cleveland by three. They tied with Pittsburgh. That's the Detroit Lions since October. They've really had one bad outing. One. And they're catching 5.5 at Atlanta against the Matty Ices. Jared Goff, by the way, I don't know if you've seen these. Jared Goff is on the COVID list. But I don't know if you've seen the reports from the Lions about Jared Goff, how he's feeling. They have made a point now on multiple occasions to let everybody know. Jared Goff is feeling perfect. They're sort of like it's their passive-aggressive way of telling the NFL, hey, if you really want to play, if you're really serious about asymptomatic players coming back and playing, we just want to let you know Jared Goff is completely asymptomatic. So I think he goes, and I'll take the 5.5 on the Detroit Lions. Jeffrey, number three.
I'm going to follow Toddy and take the 10.5 with the Washington football team on Sunday night. Washington with Heinicke is a playoff, back-end playoff caliber team.
Yes.
And Dallas.
Preach.
You and I have talked about this on a numbers game. Dallas's offense since Dak Prescott hurt himself in Foxborough just has not been the same.
Yeah.
And there is something still going on with the calf or the lower leg or whatever it is with Dak, because that offense just has not been the same since he suffered that injury on the last play of the game in New England. So, I'll take the 10.5 with Washington. They're still in the race, too. I mean, if they get if Minnesota goes down, New Orleans goes down, it will come down to that game in Landover next week against Philadelphia again. So I'll take the 10.5 with the Washington football team on Sunday night. Toddy and I are simpatico.
Let's go, Skitties. Mikey, number one for you.
My one was the Raiders.
No, he already has three. He has three. Vegas.
I'm done.
You already
Eagles,
did three.
Tennessee over.
In Tennessee.
Okay.
Raiders and.
Okay. Oh, I skipped and you didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, Todd, you're number three.
I'm going to go with the over in the Lions-Atlanta Falcons game. I think it's over 43.
Yeah.
Over 43 Lions and Atlanta. I just think that the Lions are showing me a little bit more on offense. I'm not impressed with Atlanta's defense at all. I think Detroit should be able to get you some points. Over 43 is not a real high number in an NFL game. And Atlanta, sometimes they can score. You know, I mean, last week they should have a lot more than 13 points against a good San Francisco defense. You know, they scored 29 at Carolina. They scored 21 at Jacksonville, 27 at New Orleans. Sometimes they can get you a lot of points. So I'm going to go over 43 in the Lions-Atlanta, maybe get a 24-21 win. And somebody wins 24-21, it goes over 43 for me.
Okay. And my number one pick, because remember I've been doing this in reverse order, is, any guesses? I'm going with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay.
Cincinnati
Bengals giving three.
Minus three.
Yeah, giving three to the Ravens. Obviously, they liked it better, 2.5. But I like them giving three. And there's a couple things here. One, I think everybody's feeling real good about Tyler Huntley. Think he's solid. I've even heard Chrissy Andrews was like, oh, Pittsburgh should trade for him. Ooh. All right, I haven't seen enough of Tyler Huntley to be making the proclamations that others have. But, yes, he played a great game against Green Bay. That's one thing. The biggest thing, though, here for me is that the Ravens still don't have a secondary. And what do the Bengals have maybe above every team in the league, except for maybe a couple, great trio of wide receivers. And I think Joe Burrow gets the ball to Ja'Marr Chase, Pro Bowler Ja'Marr Chase, by the way, to Tyler Boyd and to T. Higgins. And I think they absolutely exploit the Ravens' weakness in the secondary. I think this is the Bengals' coming out party once and for all. This game is for the lead in the AFC North. I like the Cincinnati Bengals. Match.
By the way, they whacked them. They whacked them.
Destroyed
in the first
them earlier.
Game.
Big upset. Big upset.
That was a game,
through.
Though. Wasn't it Harbaugh went for some fourth downs in their own territory and got out of hand?
But Cincinnati dominated that game.
Offensively, they moved the ball up and down.
I mean, Chase did whatever he wanted in this. Yeah. And one quick thing on the Bengals here. Warren Sharp sent this out earlier today, and I thought it was interesting. So the Bengals are coming off playing Denver last week.
Yeah.
The Denver Broncos, the last. Since week 8, so the last 6 opponents that the Broncos have faced are averaging 38.5 points a game after playing the Denver Broncos, after going under their team total by an average of 7.5 points in the game against Denver.
So from a betting perspective, a game against the Broncos almost minimizes what the market feels about their opponent in the following week.
Correct.
Kind of thing.
Correct.
I like that. Thank you, Warren Sharp. Thank you, Jeff Parlay. Are we already on teasers?
Yeah. On teasers.
Yeah. Todd Wishnev with the lead. I have the lead in against the spread.
Todd, will you repeat the teaser records?
The teaser records are me at 9-6 and you and Gilly both at 7-7-1.
Oof. All right, which means Todd. By the way, how did Derek Stevens do last week in his picks? Do you have a record of that, by the way?
Yes, Derek Stevens, we had Detroit with a winner.
Nice.
He had the Rams -4.5.
Winner.
Nice.
And he had Miami -9.5, which was a loser.
So 2-1.
And then his teaser was the LA Clippers, Chargers, and the Rams.
So he hit.
So he hit. By the way, I got robbed on my teaser with the Pats +8.5. The game was over. They're just trying to run out the clock, and Jonathan Taylor runs into the house. That was not very fortunate.
So
as
even
well.
With that loss, even with my gain, I'm still a game and a half behind you in teasers. Oh, wow.
Yes.
I didn't realize I'd fallen that far behind. All right, Todd, you're first then on the teaser.
I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers -1.5. I am not a believer in the Cleveland Browns football team. I don't care who's playing quarterback. Give me the Green Bay Packers just to win by 1.5 points. And also give me the Bills +8.5. I'd be going against my beloved Patriots. But I just think that the Bills are good enough to hang in. Remember the game a couple weeks ago when Bill Belichick took us back to 1920s football and ran the ball on every single play and was able to somehow win. But they did not win by more. They only won by 4. And I don't think the Patriots are not designed to, they're a run team, and the Bills are a good team. The Bills should be able to hold, hang in there.
So point of clarification, are we continuing these records into the postseason or are these regular season tallies?
I'm up for whatever you guys want to do.
I think we should continue into the postseason.
In that case, I have the exact same teaser that Todd does because that is the best teaser on the board. Green Bay on Christmas Day, down through the 7 and the 3, and then the Buffalo Bills up through the 3 and the 7.
I'm going to take the Packers and the Chiefs.
Oh.
The Chiefs are going to be, what do you have them at, 10? Right? Are they at 10 right now? The Chiefs, that's what it looks like.
What are you talking about, 10?
I'm saying 7.5.
7.5.
Yeah.
Oh, you see 7.5? I don't even see any 7.5s.
Yeah.
I just see 10s and 9s and 8s. So we're going to give him Chiefs -1.5.
Offshore.
Give me 2. Give me 8. Make it the middle.
Okay, Chiefs -2.
Yeah, Packers
and
-1.
Okay, -1.5.
Offshore. I'm looking at one of the big offshores.
Yeah.
The Minnesota Rams game is off the board.
Yeah.
The Kansas City and Miami games are not even to be found listed. They're not even up here. So what the Kansas City game, why? Because we still don't know about Travis
Kelce
and Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek, yeah.
But you're willing to risk
that. By all means, let's keep betting these pregame. Let's keep betting them pregame.
Right. Because Tomlin can afford to lose now that he's back to 500. You know what I mean? Because he will not be less than 500. Now he can. If he would have lost, I can't go against him. But he can afford to lose a game now that he's won a game.
If the Pittsburgh Steelers somehow make the postseason. Well,
unbelievable.
It's incredible.
I thought they were dead in the water down 13-0. Against the Titans, I gave them no shot. I would have made a large money line bet on the Titans had I been not sweating.
And by the way, Mikey, how did you like the fourth down spot?
Oh, that's the worst spot.
I mean, give me a break. How do these guys? This wasn't. By the way, I needed them to score because I had a bet on that, but I won't tell you what the bet was. But the point was, I wanted them to score. And fourth down, I'm like, are you kidding me? I'll take the first down, but it was so far away. How could you even miss it by that much?
They missed it by a yard and a half.
Todd, it was the refs from the Army-Missouri game last night.
Wait a minute. They only needed 9 yards for first downs in the fourth quarter. Why is the clock stopping? Are they measuring? He's a yard short. No, the sticks are moving.
The one at the end of the game, the one where Mizzou got the third down conversion was bad. The one that Army was legitimately 2 yards short.
It was unbelievable.
I don't know. I said that he's calling a timeout. Because I see the clock stop, right? And I go, he's calling a timeout here?
Yeah,
no, they're moving the chains.
I'm so glad we brought this up. The one in the Pittsburgh game, I was on Tennessee, right? So I'm like, oh my God, he didn't make it. And then the next thing you know, it's like this measurement. And I'm, oh no, first of all, Tennessee was trying to rush the play because they're like, oh my God, I think they might have given us first down. Then the measurement where they put the ball, it was like credit card thin.
I was like,
oh my God.
But they would have, challenged it.
Right, they would have challenged it. It's clearly yard. But what Jeff is talking about last night, dude, oh my God. This game was hilarious. So Mizzou on their final touchdown drive. I had Army on the money line, which got there thankfully as the last leg of a parlay.
But I had Mizzou on the money line.
So Mizzou's matriculating the ball down the field. They're in the red zone, and I'm like, fuck, I gotta stop them. Oh my God! And then there's a play where I'm like, we were talking about walking away from the TV in the Denver Cincinnati game. It's clearly fourth and one. Right?
Clearly
fourth and one. You do that thing where you lose your concentration for a moment, and I'm like, okay, fourth and one.
And he even throws an incomplete pass.
And then I'm like, why isn't there any? Oh, and he throws a pass. I'm like, first and second and ten.
No, I think it was actually third and one.
It was fourth and one. No, you're right. You're right that it was fourth and one. And then next thing I knew on the incomplete pass, I'm like, yeah, second and ten.
Right.
What?
Because you know on the bottom of the screen, they put fourth and one after the play. And
I didn't see that.
But then if you watch, they changed it to first and ten, and then he threw it away incomplete, just threw it away
That one was bad enough because it was a yard. The Army one. They not only moved the chains, they kept the clock running. So nobody knew.
Well, no, they stopped it for a second.
They stopped it for like 2 seconds.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, because I said, why would Monken call a timeout in this spot? And then they see him moving it, but they wound it with like 38. They started the game clock again.
It's so arbitrary in these bowl games. You're betting on this. Like, yeah, whatever. Just move them.
It's very arbitrary. When you're betting college totals, Gil, and I do this because there's a couple crews in the Big Ten. When they get a first down, they start whining. They don't have the ball on the hash, right? There's a couple of these guys that are 37 are whining. And others, it goes down to 28 before they start the game clock.
I noticed there was one arbitrary bowl game a couple days ago where I don't think they even stopped it a couple times.
They just let it go.
It's amazing.
By the way, you guys are wrong. It was third and one, as I said. It would have been third and one, not fourth and one on that play, because I knew. I was like, oh, my God, now it's going to be third and one. And I'm looking at the play-by-play. It would have been third and one at the Army 17, not fourth and one. But still, the point still stands that it was a ridiculous call. But it would have been third.
I don't think you're correct.
No, I think this was further up the field. Todd, this was around midfield. Midfield.
No,
it wasn't. It was down at the 17-yard line.
Gil, by the way, don't you feel fortunate that Missouri stayed in hurry-up once they had first and goal with a minute and 20 to go? They kept going. They could have made him use his timeout. But they didn't.
Forget it all. I mean, Cook legitimately missed the guy who had known within 14 miles of him.
Oh, on the two-point
conversion. Downing was so wide open.
You know what I'm really upset about is they didn't spike the ball, according to the color commentary.
I got to go back and find this game on demand and just listen to it the whole way through.
It's phenomenal. It's Shakespeare of bad announcing.
What's Parlay's teaser?
Yeah, go ahead, Todd.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
No, just you can look at the play-by-play and you'll see.
We will. We will, Todd. You're probably right because you're never wrong.
My teaser is the same as Todd and Gill's. I don't know how with the way the numbers are right now, I don't know how you can't go with Green Bay and Buffalo. I expect that game in Foxborough to be close, and I expect Green Bay to wax Cleveland, especially if Baker is in there.
It was 2nd and 6 from the Army 23 with 1:38 left. He passed it for 6 yards, according to the thing, for Army first down. It really should have been 3rd and 1.
Right. But, Todd, what I'm saying is, so follow the play-by-play. So it would have been 3rd and 1 there, right?
Right.
And then incomplete. The
next play is incomplete to make it 2nd and 10.
Oh, God. So the next play, no, this is what I'm saying. So I didn't explain right. So the next play, when it's an incomplete pass, then I'm thinking it's a 4th and 1. But instead, it's 2nd and 10. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Right.
Your teaser is?
Same as yours and Todd.
Yeah.
Same one. Packers and Bills.
Packers-Bills, best teaser in the world.
Yeah.
What could go wrong? What could possibly go wrong?
It'll be like that Cleveland, that can't-miss Cleveland Raider teaser from a few weeks back where both sides lost by 30.
Yes, that's right. By the way, did you guys think, because Jeff and I disagreed on this, did you think Belichick should not have kicked the field goal with 9 minutes left to cut it to 10? Did you think that was a terrible move?
No.
I didn't either.
No. I think you could argue it either way.
There's a lot of time left.
I didn't think it was that bad.
The big concern in that, and it ended up happening even though New England scored quickly after, was my concern was that New England was only going to have time for one possession left because of the way Indianapolis plays offense. That was my big concern on that. That's why I would have gone for it. Now, if it was like 4th and 12, I would say, fine, you got to kick it. But it was 4th and 6.
I just find a lot of this stuff, not you necessarily, but I'm just saying a lot of people just think, oh, that's terrible.
Not the same situation, but remember, people crucified him for kicking the field goal to go down 28-6 in the Super Bowl.
That's
too,
correct.
Remember?
Wait, no, didn't they? I thought it was 28-9.
It was
28-3.
28-3, and he kicked to go to 28-6.
No. It was a touchdown to go to 28-9.
They went for two to make it 28-11 and missed it.
Yeah. So he went 28-12. He kicked the field goal.
That seems more likely.
The reason that I know it was 9 is because at the South Point, they had huge liability on 9 if New England had finished with 9 points.
Another one of those Zach White deals.
It would have been 6 figures in liability.
By the way, you have Tampa Bay to score 0 points last week? It was plus $12 billion.
So by the way, Todd, you talked about the last play with the Bears game and the overrule change on the field. We had a guy make a very large wager and laid minus 340 that there would be a score. There would not be a scoreless quarter. So we blow. It was a huge swing for us by that being a touchdown.
There would not be a scoreless quarter?
Yes, no. Will there be a scoreless quarter? He said no. The fourth quarter would have been scoreless if they don't score on the last play. So he laid 340 for mid five figures and gets there with that last touchdown.
What game was that?
The Bears Vikings.
My goodness! And by the way, a lot of people had the Bears +7, like myself. Yeah. And that's the Minneapolis Miracle Rule. Yeah. You don't need to bring up anybody.
If it does not change the result of the game.
Yeah. Though, when you Google articles from right after that rule change, a lot of people are if it's the winning score. So I had to actually look it up in the rules, and it is any score.
Right.
It is any score.
Well, it's happened a number of times now where they get the touchdown on the last play and they don't kick.
Yep, 100%. All right, we're down to the final two questions. Are we already here? I believe we are.
Yeah, we are.
All right. Final two questions, the first of which is, which of the big favorites is the most likely to lose outright in this? Let me get back to the board. By the way, you know, Chris Andrews, it's as if he's listening in to the Megapod, because I just mentioned how there's a prominent offshore that has 3 games off the board. He just texted me randomly to tell me that the other prominent offshore, Pinnacle, has 9 games currently off the board. So Pinnacle, the arbiter of beating closing line value, has 9 NFL games off the board as we do this Thursday morning. Interesting.
Let me ask you, how many are they going to have off the board at about 1:45 on Sunday?
No, but you understand the point.
Oh, no, you understand my point. We can bet all these games after the game started, and we see who's playing, we see who's doing what. You might as well just wait, folks. I know you want to go to the picnic. I know you want to go to the barbecue and get your bets in. You don't need to go to the damn barbecue!
Todd Wishnev, everybody.
A lot of Christmas barbecues. A lot of picnic. A lot of picnics on Christmas.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
Okay, whatever. You get my point.
Exactly. It's big on Christmas, Mikey.
Mikey, go pick up your son some other time. It's 1:45 on Sunday.
What's that Jewish holiday with the cheesecake?
Todd, Shavuot.
Todd, let the Gentiles. The Gentiles love barbecuing on Christmas Day.
We love it. They really do.
Okay, it's not, but you get my point. These people, they insist they have to bet the game.
We got your point. Todd.
Let's slaughter one of the oxen. Fire up the barbecue.
All right, so here are the big favorites. Who's the most likely to lose out?
Christmas barbecue is a big deal, isn't it? Out in the backyard?
Yeah.
Is that 4th of July?
Yeah. As long as the manger doesn't catch fire.
Tampa Bay.
What do they do on Christmas? Wait, let me ask Mikey. What's the big deal on Christmas? Is it a big Christmas dinner, Christmas Day lunch? Well, what do you do?
For a lot of families, it's going to Mass at midnight on Christmas Eve.
Do you do that?
Yeah, we always do. We always go at midnight.
Even now?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
If Jeff Schwartz were here, he would have lost his mind right now.
No, only,
that's all right. well, only if there were
questions about diet and calories. I'm convinced.
I like to know what Mikey's doing on Christmas. So he goes midnight Mass, then you wake up late because you're up so late, right?
Yeah, wake up late and open the presents and then go to the grandparents' house in the afternoon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's good.
Mm-hmm. And it's a big meal? There's a big meal in the afternoon?
The big meal at the grandparents' house.
What do you guys have, latkes? What do you have on Christmas?
The Filipino.
Hometashin?
Filipino.
Is it turkey?
Filipino food.
Oh, what is Filipino Christmas? Is it not turkey and stuff, or what is it?
No, it's their own food. This is, it's not that they change. It's not. I mean, it's lumpia and you know, all this.
Of course.
Oh, lumpia.
Yeah.
Lumpia's big. I had lumpia plus 290
pancit,
2 weeks ago.
Pancit, you know, the noodles and all this.
You know what I'll be eating? Oh. I'll be eating Chinese food on Christmas for sure.
You will be.
For shizzle.
Yeah. It's the Christmas story.
Yes, man. Mm-hmm. All right. Tampa Bay. Which of these is most likely to lose outright? Tampa Bay, 10-point favorites on the road against Carolina. Philly. 9.5 or 10-point favorites at home against the Giants. Chargers, 10 points on the road against Houston. Bang. Should I keep Seattle in there?
No, don't. Everybody will say Seattle.
All right, I'll take Kansas City, though.
Yeah.
7.5-point favorites at home against Pittsburgh. And Dallas, 10.5, 10-point favorites at home against the Washington football teamers. Who's the most likely to lose outright? Todd.
I guess I'll take Woofy to beat the Cowboys.
Cowboys. Jeff.
Kansas City.
I love it.
No way are the Steelers beating the Kansas City Pittsburgh Steelers. I love the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'll be the first person to tell you. Have some pierogies, have a permanis, whatever you want to have, but we're not going to go down there. We can't go down to Kansas City and think we're going to come out with a W. We can't do it. We just don't have enough on the offensive side of the ball. Thank you.
Todd, I will say this. The Steelers have reached the point where they are so horrible that they are still – the old saying, it's so bad, it's good?
Yeah.
That's kind of where we're at with the Steelers, where they're so terrible, and they're still going to probably find a way to have a chance to win the Division Week 18.
Mikey?
Because we're a great organization.
I don't know that any of them are losing or think that any of them are, but I'd have to go the one with the coaching mismatch. I'll take the Texans to beat the Chargers.
Oh, God.
As soon as you said it, I knew that's where you were going.
You knew the setup. You knew
oh,
the setup.
My God. Can't wait when he wins coach of the year.
No. What year? Give us a year.
Not this year.
No, not this year.
I'm gonna agree with my buddy Jeff Parlay, and I'm going with the Kansas City Omaha Chiefs.
You're just pulling against my teaser. That's,
no.
You're worried about the second
Jens,
place.
Here's the thing about the Steelers. They have on defense like four legitimate awesome players. Bush is on COVID, though. But like Fitzpatrick, T.J. Watt, of course, Joe Hayden. They have players on defense that could mess with especially if either Kelce or Hill can't go. And I don't know how Pittsburgh's scoring. That's another story. But I think that's the most likely to lose outright because I think there's a scenario. And then the final question. Oh, boy, with all these COVID things, who knows right here. But you have to make a play in every single game, but you're allowed one free pass. Jeffrey? What's the game you want no part of?
The Jacksonville Jaguars at my New York Jets.
I second that.
I'm going Denver-Oakland. Yeah. I don't want any part of that. Or Denver-Las Vegas, pardon me.
I would not want to bet the Miami Dolphins against the Ian Book-led New Orleans Saints.
You're starting to see some picks reposted, Todd. You still wouldn't consider Miami, even at a coin flip against Ian Book?
Well, I mean, the Saints won a game without a quarterback last week, so why can't they do it again? I don't know. I don't like that game. I'm not.
That's a game.
Miami Dolphins is not a game I want
to
miss.
That total might go down to 35. I'm just telling you. It's
possible. We had this discussion on a numbers game, dude. Tua. I say conservatively, he's a top half NFL quarterback. Probably 13th or 14th even, if you rank all the quarterbacks in the league. You say what?
I don't know. I think, Gil, I think that once you get like past 8, 9, from 10 to 24 is like...
That's what makes my statement correct.
Yeah.
If you go through every single team, I defy you to find 15 quarterbacks better than Tua Tagovailoa. Plus, Tua, for the second straight year, so last year he had the smallest separation between his receivers and the defenders, so he had to throw it into the smallest windows of any quarterback in the NFL. This year, same thing, if you take Waddle out and you could talk about all his other receivers, 2.2 yards of separation. The guy has no help whatsoever. And by the way, Miami is still obsessed with Deshaun Watson, so after this season, I wouldn't be surprised if they pick up Deshaun Watson. I would happily take Tua in the burgundy and gold. Give him
Where
to
did
me.
You get that stat about the thing and who's the quarterback who has the most
that I
room
do not
to
know.
Throw?
That I do not know.
Where did you get the stat though?
Little birdie told me.
No, because I'd love to see those stats.
Dr. Eric.
Dr. Eric has those stats.
I think Dr. Eric told me. Yes.
Yeah, I was guessing. That's just a guess.
I don't know that it was Dr. Yeah. Eric, but I think that's where it came from.
Because it's a huge thing that whole who has room to throw to.
That's right.
If you watch these games, it's a gigantic thing, and people think they can rank the quarterback solely just on. You can't. So much of it is who you're throwing to and who if they're open, if they're not open, and all that stuff.
Another example of how the human eye doesn't process that, but guess what does? Analytics! Well,
and also, Gil,
you mean math?
The telltale sign of all with this. Tom Brady, who legitimately was going to waltz to another MVP award.
Yeah.
All of his guys get hurt. No one can get open against New Orleans. And now Tom Brady's the second favorite after looking like he's going to waltz to winning another MVP.
Wait, can I say that MVP should be abolished? In the National Football League, it is a pure team game. The MVP, I know Veasan loves to talk about MVPs all day long. I know that if I listen to a numbers game, we're going to have the MVP in the G League discussion NBA.
I'm the least guilty of that.
We've talked about it maybe for 5 minutes a week.
You just said a numbers game.
Okay, I'm sorry. I take it back. Not a numbers game, but I hear this endless talk of MVPs and everything. Okay, fine. Maybe people like it. That's fine. But in the National Football League, for God's sakes, it's a team game. It is not a game that leads itself to MVP.
Yes, but people are trying to bet and win money, though. That's all.
No, Gil, I understand. I have no problem with that.
Gil, because of the swift dispensation of all the necessary things in this show, and we finished a few minutes early, do we have time for a Christmas message?
Yes, Michael Palma with his annual Christmas message. Why is he laughing?
I'm assuming that we have...
I'm laughing because you can't just be Christmas like one day of the year. But go ahead.
You loved my Christmases for more than Christians 2 years ago in the holiday reflection. And I believe our audience is ecumenical, right? There's a wide variety of creeds that
are
listening.
If you go 1 in 364, that's a problem, but go ahead.
We are now just a few days from Christmas, and many of us are preparing to celebrate that birth that happened over 2,000 years ago in an occupied Middle Eastern country. Ideally, the birth of any child is a product or manifestation of love. A baby should be loved into life, irrespective of the parents or circumstances. Birth is full of wonder. People can easily become captivated, staring into the face of the newborn. Such joy, such a miracle. But preparing for Christmas can be overwhelming. The decorating, card sending, Christmas plays and office parties, the ordering and shipping and shopping. Add to that the problems we face as a society. Rampant inflation, supply chain shortages, stock market gyrations, new vaccine mandates, water shortages, riots, arson, mass shootings, smash and grab robberies, and political dissent. And now a new rapidly spreading strain of the virus. How do we keep ourselves safe? How do we keep our children safe? And for many of us, the most important question, how do we keep our elderly parents safe? That sense of being overwhelmed can easily turn into a sense of desperation or even defeat. So let's not forget the words of Luke. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Do not be afraid. This isn't the first time we've heard this message. These words were spoken to Zechariah, to Joseph, to Mary, and to the shepherds. They were even spoken by the Lord himself to the first witnesses of the resurrection. These are the words which signify God's deepest message of love and care toward us. Rather than wringing our hands over the worrisome state of our nation and world, we should celebrate instead. A tiny baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a Bethlehem manger, continues to overcome hate with love, evil with sacrifice, and wrong with right. From our families, Dr. Gil Alexander, Todd Wishniff, myself, our guest Jeff Parles, we wish you and yours a very blessed and joyful Christmas. One of the most glorious messes in the world is the mess created in the living room on Christmas Day. Don't clean it up too quickly.
Michael Palm, everybody. Very nice. And that's the way to end it on this Megapod, week 16 of the National Football League. Good luck with all your bets.
I'm sorry. I just have to end that with the ice. Can you do the ice pond? Can you do the ice pond one, Mikey? That's my favorite line from Mikey about
we grew up Catholics. We were just skeptical Catholics. We believe Jesus walked on water. We just thought it was probably in the wintertime.
My notes would be, I like the last line where you say, don't clean it up too quickly. Yes. I could have done without the Christ the Lord part. But
we all believe differently. Yeah.
Todd and I winced a little bit on that.
He didn't wince. Look at how he was sitting back in the chair enjoying it.
I find the whole thing hysterical because we're all going to act Christ-like on one day of the year. And 364 days a year, we're going to act the way the normal thing is. But whatever. It's all good.
Well, I think it's a lovely... In spirit, it's a lovely message. Thank you,
thank
Mike.
Thank you, Gil. Thank
Mike
you.
Palm, known for many things, including his yearly Christmas message. Good luck with all your bets.
And by the way, virginal birth to all of you.
Come on! Can I end it?
Yes, end it.
Good luck with all your bets. Week 16 of the NFL. Happy holidays, everybody.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.